My privilege to open the Word of God this morning to you, and I trust that you'll get a blessing from it. It's been a blessing to me anyway as I've been studying it. Basically, we're talking about two fellas. One's a Pharisee, one that keeps the law, etc., and the other one is a little bit iffy. He's a tax collector. And Jesus is telling this story. Now, Jesus is the finest storyteller that's ever been. And the reason is because he knows what we're like. He knows exactly what we're like. He knows the way we think. He knows everything about us. And he can see into people's minds. And this story starts off because he's talking to some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else. Jesus knew they did. He knew you. You're looking down on people. You're thinking you're better than somebody else. You've got this attitude that you're superior. Jesus knew that. And so he tells this story, this parable. And it's about two men that went up to the temple to pray. That's a good start, isn't it? Two fellas coming to the temple to pray. What a good thing to do. I'm glad to see you here this morning. I really am. It's good to set aside time to come to worship God. These two fellas did that. They came to the temple to pray. But the first fella, he prays, the Bible says, about himself. He's so self-centered that he thinks the entire world revolves around him. And he's saying, I thank you, God, that I am not a robber. I'm not an evildoer. I don't commit adultery. I live right. I'm a good guy. I'm the salt of the earth. That's what he's talking to God about. And he's telling God exactly what he's like. My dear friends, I have to tell you, God knows what you're like. You don't need to tell him. But here this man, he was bragging about his own righteousness. How he has done this. And if you notice in the reading, it says, I do this, I do that, I do the other. This man was so self-centered that it was not a good situation to be, really. He's not a robber, he's not an evildoer, he's not an adulterer. And then he says, and I'm so glad I'm not like him. He's a tax collector. He makes his living diddling people. Because that's what they did in those days. And tax collectors were looked down upon. Zacchaeus, can you remember that guy? Little fella, somewhat like about my height he was. He'd to climb up a tree to see Jesus. He was a tax collector. And Jesus says, come down. He said, I want to come to your house for tea today. And everybody were gobsmacked. Does he not know who he is? He's a tax collector. And Jesus is going to eat food with him. World. And so tax collectors and them all. But this situation here, this man thought he'd got it sussed out. He said, I fast twice a week. Now then, that's a tricky one, okay? I'm going to throw a few things at you this morning that might just make you think, okay? You can come to me afterwards and say, Phil, you were rubbish, and I'll take it from you. But there's one or two things in here that I just want to leave with you. He said, I fast twice a week. That was something that they did in those days. And today, it's a good discipline to fast for something. If you have something that you want God to step in to your situation and help out, as it were, fasting is good. I'm just going to read you from Matthew chapter 9. Just bear with me. In fact, I've opened it at the next right page, which is quite a feat, really, because it's not my Bible. This it's Matthew chapter 9. You don't need to turn to it. I'll read it to you when I can find it. That is Matthew 9, 14 and 15. I've got it. John's disciples came and asked him, "How is it that the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast?" You see, the followers of John the Baptist, they regularly fasted. And the Pharisees who were dealing with here, they regularly fasted. But they come to Jesus and they said, your disciples, they're not fasting. What's up with them? He says, they won't fast while I'm with them. But when I've gone back to glory, then they will fast. So it's important to just get a grasp of what fasting really is. And it's something that's biblical and it's something that we can do. The other thing that's a very tricky subject, very, very, very tricky subject, but I'm going to hit it straight on. I'm going to tell you that this guy gave a tenth of all that he possessed. A tenth. As if he earned 100 quid, a tenner, straight in. If he earned £1,000 a week, how much did he put in? Oh, you're good, aren't you? Huh? You're bright. I thought when I saw you this morning, I thought, now they switched on this lot. They'll be able to do the maths. All right. What happens if he earns £100,000 a week? Do the maths when you get old. What I'm saying is that here, this guy that was self-righteous, he was giving to God what God expected of him. I'm going to read from Malachi, right at the very, very back of the Bible. It's the last book in the Old Testament. It's dead easy to find, although I'm struggling here. It's just before Matthew. All right, Malachi. It's Malachi chapter 3, verse 9. Just listen to this. It's good reading the Word of God, and it's good getting it into you. This is what it says here. You were all under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you're robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And test me in this, says the Almighty, and see if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. What Malachi is saying here, he says that people aren't giving to God. They're keeping it to themselves. They've not got this concept of giving back to God what really is his. This fella knew about it. The tenth of all he got. Every little bit that came into his house, he gave a tenth of it to God. That's scriptural. That will bring your household blessing. It'll put you on a different footing altogether of blessing from God because you're fulfilling what God wants you to do. There was a guy, and he was a businessman. And he did very well. In fact, he was a businessman, really. But he was a businessman, and he came to his vicar, and he said, I'm finding it very difficult to tithe because I'm not earning enough money. The vicar says, come into the vestry. Took him over into the vestry. He said, let's have a word of prayer. And so the vicar prayed. He said, oh God, he said, I'm just asking you to increase my brother's business so that he can afford to tithe and give it back to you. Amen. That was it. End of prayer. The guy went back to work. From that moment onwards, his business took off like you wouldn't believe. Everything went smooth for him. Things fit into place. Opportunities came and he took them and he began to be loaded. And every week he would put his tithe into the offering box. Until it got to the time earning a serious, not like you were talking mega rich here. And he comes to the vicar and he said, I'm struggling. He said, I'm earning that much money at the moment. He said, I'm finding it very difficult to put all the tithing. The vicar said, let's have a word about it. Went into the vestry. While they were in the vestry, he said, the vicar said, Heavenly Father, he said, would you just reduce my brother's profitability so that he can afford to tithe? Okay? You see, sometimes when you've got a lot, it's difficult to give. I feel sorry for those that are absolutely mega wet because they've got to give. But this guy knew all about it. So you're saying, Phil, he's a good one, isn't he? He's not a good guy because he did it with the wrong attitude. And Jesus knew that. He could see into his heart And he wasn't giving. He wasn't fasting. He wasn't doing it from a right attitude. And that, my dear friend, is wrong. You see, it's not always easy to fast. It's not always easy to give a tithe. But sometimes it's very profitable. There was two fellas, they were on a ship, and the ship sank. Not Titanic style, but a pretty big ship sank. They were found on a desert island, just the two of them. Nothing there but a palm tree and nothing else. And one fella is pacing up and down. And he's talking like the guy in Dad's Army. We're doomed. We're doomed. And the other guy is just sat there under the palm tree having a doze. He said, what are you doing? He said, why aren't you worried? We're on this, we're going to die. He says, no, we're not. He says, yes, we are. He says, no, we're not. He said, well, why are we not going to die? He says, because I'm very rich. The guy said, what's being very rich got to do with us dying here on this island? He said, you're missing the point. He said, I'm very rich. He said, I earn mega bucks. He said, and in my local church, I tithe of my mega bucks. He said, well, we're stuck here on a desert island. He said, what? How did that help? He said, don't worry. He said, my vicar will find me. All right, forget the jokes. It's a serious business, okay? This guy knew about giving to God, but he gave it with the wrong attitude. Don't do that, my friends. Let's have a right attitude, and let's make sure that we're giving to God in a proper way, with a heart full of thanks and with appreciation for all that he's done for us. And so he's there. He's there. He's got it all wrong. And he's coming to God with his own righteousness. You can't do that. You can't do that. You're never going to be good enough of yourself. The Bible says your righteousness, no matter what it is, it's just like filthy rags to God. You see, if we want to come to God, we have to come through his righteousness. We have to come through what he has done for us, not what we are doing for him. That's the wrong way around. And so we look at the other guy now. And this other guy is there. He's crept in. He's not in the front of the church. He's hiding in the side wings. He doesn't even want to be seen. His head's bowed down. He doesn't lift his head up to heaven. And he's just beating on his breast. And he just comes to God and he says, oh, God. He said, have mercy on me, a sinner. Jesus turns round to the folks. He says, that man there has gone home justified. He's gone home with God being pleased with him. The word justified, I simplify it, but I put it just as if I'd, all right? Justified, just as if I'd never sinned. That guy went home from church that day justified. His sins were forgiven. He was right with God. He had a relationship with his heavenly Father. He was there. And Jesus says he's gone home justified. But the other guy hasn't. My dear friends, this is serious business. This is life and death, what we're talking about this morning. And here we have a man who thought he was good, who thought he got everything going for him, who just relied on what he was doing for church, what he was doing for the PCC, what he was doing for this, what he was doing for that. My dear friends, what we do for God, let's do it right. Let's do it with a heart of thanksgiving. Let's do it with a free, willing spirit, and God will be pleased with us, just like he was with this man who God showed mercy. He said, have mercy on me, a sinner. And he went home justified. So don't put your trust in what you do. Put your trust in what Christ has done for you. Okay? Have you got that? Don't put your trust in what you are doing for God. Put your trust in what God has done for you. And we're coming up to Easter, and we're going to remember that Jesus went to the cross for you and for me. He came to this earth to live, die, a substitute for you, so that our sins, which are many, we can receive the mercy from God, because we come with a heart that says, "Oh God, have mercy on me, a sinner." It's important to realize that we're all sinners. The Bible tells us that. It's not being made up. The Bible says we've all sinned and we've all fallen short of the glory of God. There's none of us righteous, no, not one. And so we have to come to God empty-handed. We have to come to Him and ask for mercy. Many years ago, when I was a young man, we used to go out on the streets in what they call the open air. Don't know whether any of you have seen any open air preachers or not. Some of them are an absolute pain, and they do a lot for the devil's side of things rather than God's side, I'm afraid. But we used to go out in a little group, and we used to sing, and we used to have a piano accordion, and it was good. And one of the times, they had an heckler there, and which you did. I mean, it happened in Paul's days just the same. He got heckled. But as they were preaching the gospel, one of them shouted out in a loud voice, "All I want from God is a fair deal." And the preacher said, "It's not a fair deal you need, my friend. It's mercy. Because if it was a fair deal, he would be destined for hell. But it's mercy from God." And so each one of us, let's link ourselves with this guy that comes with a broken heart, that comes recognizing attributes that are going to set him up to be pleasing with God. So what he needs, and God just comes along and he says, "That man went home justified." Just as if he'd never sinned, and he went out with a spring in his step because he knew the forgiveness that God can give. I think that's my message over with this morning to you. But I just want to just leave you with those simple little thoughts. Don't think you're better than what you are. Don't puff yourself up as someone that is sort of special. Just recognize that we are who we are because of Jesus. And my pathway to glory has been paved out not because of what I have done, not because of who I am, but because of what Jesus has done for me on the cross of Calvary. And I can say for you this morning, justified, not in my own sense, because I recognize that there's no way I can be justified by what I do. But I'm thankful that God comes into the scene and says, "Phil, I'm going to make you just as if you'd never sinned. And that when you see me face to face, I'll be able to stand before God, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, doing what I think, but the righteousness that comes through Christ, and I can be stand before God justified because of what he's done for me." The Lord bless you all. You're super to talk. Encouraging at times when you're preaching. So thank you for listening. Just work it out. And if you think, "Phil, you've overstepped the mark a bit there," come and have a word with me after, and I'll explain it. And we might differ. We might even disagree. But I tell you this: we're all wanting the same things. We're all wanting God to bless our church and bless us in every aspect. And I feel that the fasting and the tithing and the making sure we're not relying on ourselves, that's the way to go. The Lord bless you all.
Going to stand and sing, "Oh, I Once Held Dear."